Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And happy Friday. Good day. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday. I'm your host, Jay Cruz, and most of us look forward to the weekend. Unless you're in the entertainment service industry sector, then it's kind of like your Monday. Nonetheless, you have a fun job to look forward to. That's always kind of cool. Speaking of look forward to, for San Francisco 49er fans, including myself, looking forward to next year, the Kansas City Chiefs. As you probably know by now, unless this is the only place you get your sports information, which is fine too. Yep, the Chiefs victorious in Super Bowl 58, the first team in 20 years to repeat as Super Bowl champions, the Patriots in 2002, 2003, the last team to do that, and kind of went over all the opportunities that teams in NFL history have had to repeat. And you know, some teams actually been in the Super Bowl maybe three, four times in a row, including the Bills, and didn't come up with a trophy. So that's on the podcast on demand link here on HealthyLife.net. And, you know, coming up maybe later on in the show, most likely, and for the next couple weeks, we'll be taking a look at, you know, some of the NFL aftermath and ramping up for baseball. Again, I've mentioned how baseball is probably the one that got the fantasy sport boom going. It was called rotisserie baseball back then because only about 20 or less guys got together. There might have been a female in there, but probably not in the first draft. It was pretty much sports geeks and stat geeks. And they got in there and drafted their players, their fictitious teams, at a chicken rotisserie restaurant. So it used to be called rotisserie baseball. And that was kind of where I came in. I had a friend that I worked college radio with, and he got a really cool job working in New York City with one of the big record labels. And, you know, got involved in helping to sign new bands, some of which we played on our college radio station. His name was Dave. And he gave me a call in springtime about a week or so ahead of time to prepare for what was a pretty intense draft, a keeper league, auction league with many guys who'd already been playing for a couple of years with the rotisserie baseball. We all got together at a location at, it's actually USF, San Francisco, or San Francisco University of San Francisco. A lot of the guys were alumni from that school, and you know, it turned out a couple of the guys mostly were in the, you know, music industry and the radio and records business, too. In fact, one of them, I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, it was kind of fun. In my introduction, my friend was like, you know a lot about baseball, a lot about sports. And, you know, I can't physically get from New York to San Francisco next week. I mean, I can, but I schedule-wise. I mean, obviously, there's planes, trains, and automobiles. But he asked me to draft in his place, and it turned out I did okay. You know, I learned how to, you know, manage with all of what was given, you know, to me in a quick crash course. And, you know, I did have another friend from the same college radio station that also was involved. So he kind of gave me some pointers and showed me a few things and, you know, gave me some pieces of advice because, you know, live auction is can be intimidating, especially when you don't know the folks. They all knew each other. They'd done this a couple times. And anyway, I had a great time. The team I ended up drafting, even though I overbid for Felix Jose, outfielder of the Oakland A's, and then I had to buy, you know, 10-cent $1 players the rest of the draft, I did better than how Dave had done previously. Comes around next year, Dave's still in New York, and he still had a busy schedule. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles existed, but essentially he, you know, phased out, quit the league because of logistics, and they asked me to join. And I was totally stoked. You know, now I'm in this league for real, and had an idea of how it worked as far as the balancing the auction money. And it's, you know, it's a tough go when you're looking at, you know, free agent baseball and the hot stove league. It's always kind of fun to, you know, go for the, you know, the big name, you know, the Barry Bonds at the time might have been the big guy. And then, you know, when players are released back into the free agent pool, yeah, you have a chance to, you know, go back and reacquire a player. So ended up kind of drafting my team. I did okay. You know, I was around the bottom third or quarter of the league. I think we had 10 guys. I was around 8th place. And with that being said, it's towards the midway point of the season, and my best player, you know, offensively was Matt Williams, third baseman of the Giants. I think he's back in the Giants organization as third base coach, reunited with his former teammate, Bob Melvin, who's called Bo Mel in the baseball circles. Anyway, Matt Williams was having a great year at the plate, good number of home runs, might have been chasing a record back then, or that might have been the following season. I think it was the following season. Yeah, because I didn't have him. But nonetheless, he was one of my best players, and I got offered a trade, and the guy kind of talked me into it. He had a really inexpensive player and a relief pitcher that was involved in the deal. And, you know, we had certain parameters. Like, if you're looking to get a third baseman, you have to give back a third baseman. And if you're looking to get a relief pitcher, you have to give back a relief pitcher. You know, most leagues are much, much looser now. And we also had, we were a National League only league. So with 10 owners and only like 13 teams, you know, we had to make do with literally everybody who is, you know, starting and getting playing time on a roster. And if, you know, a player got traded from one league to the other, A, if you had him, he's no longer eligible to play on your team. And B, if the trade that involved your player received a, let's say, a superstar player, you had first rights to that person. So that player. So we had those kind of rules. So it was a third baseman for a relief pitcher, but John Wetland was the guy involved. And well, he also sent me a third baseman that I can't really remember. But the pitcher coming in at a really inexpensive salary, and the relief pitcher was able to really improve your team in about three or four categories. So that was when I initially started the quote-unquote philosophy of building for next year. Obviously, I came in as a new owner, and I was kind of just learning the league. So, you know, my goal was to get as many of the best players I can, keep enough draft capital to, you know, not overbid on a guy like Felix Jose, so that at the end I, you know, can spread out the money and have a chance to have a more even team. Because, you know, if you put all your eggs in one basket on, you know, say a great starting pitcher last year, he comes in and pulls a muscle and can't come back for a while. Or, you know, fast forward to last year when I had two of my highest paid players from the new startup Dynasty League that were injured during the World Baseball Classic. Jose Altuve played about half a year, and the pitcher that I got, Edwin Diaz, well, he blew out his knee celebrating with his team in the World Baseball Classic. Altuve had been hit. So when those setbacks came to me last year, I was like, well, here we are, building for next year again. And I did that in another league kind of recently, and, you know, luckily, you know, I had the adversity and, you know, the inexperience playing with a bunch of experienced, you know, but happy to teach, you know, other gentlemen who are in that league. And it was a lot of fun. Like I said, it's, you know, I just find more pleasure in maybe not necessarily winning in the aesthetics of trying to build a team for next year is a lot of fun too. Some people can't stand that. They want to win all the time. They're super ultra competitive, and that's where daily fantasy kind of was born, because players would be playing in a league, they'd be doing average or bad, and then they would lose interest. So, you know, now if there's just a game, you can go in and pick a lineup with a fictitious amount of salary and get your jollies in one day. That could be good nor bad. So, you know, I'm kind of cool with the long term. So we're getting ready for my draft for this team. The Maurice Wiggs is the name. I took that from the character in Goodfellas, who was an associate of De Niro and Pesci and those guys, their characters, and was a big sports fan. We'll leave it at that. So kind of like he's the Little League sponsor for my team. We've got Maurice Wiggs on the back of our jerseys. Anyway, it is fantasy baseball, so you can go pretty far with it, as you can see I'm doing now. But, you know, the John Wetland trade ended up giving me a number of cheap players going into next year, and I had extra draft capital, and, you know, was able to put together a very competitive team after I traded basically my best player, Matt Williams. So, and it was nice that that owner, you know, kind of talked me through it and told me, you know, I know you don't want to trade your best player. You know, he was close to the championship. He was like in fourth place. Figured, you know, he might make a run with Matt Williams, who was having a great season, as I said. And, you know, was able to, anyway, he was willing to sacrifice a really good player that I was able to kind of turn around my, because I didn't have a plan, really, how to build the franchise. And since then, I've been very keen on relief pitchers. And in fact, you know, looking at pitching now, the way it's changed a little bit, there are a number of closers who get, you know, really good stats and, again, contribute to your ERA, your team whip, and the walks, hits, inning pitch ratio. And, you know, a really good relief pitcher or two can really, you know, solidify your team. I throw in the or two because I figured I'm already starting with one. If I can get another one cheap, I can really, you know, lock down this category and a lot of points out of it. And at the worst, I might be able to trade one later on for a power hitter and keep one in there. So, you know, needless to say, the second season after that, or the season after that trade, I was doing much better. You know, I was up around fourth or fifth place. And then the season after that, I was in first place, and then the baseball strike happens. I was really bummed. I mean, I had put all this extra time into, you know, building for next year and waiting till next year. And then next year, a couple years finally happened, and my team was in a great position late in the season. It was around August, you know, when the pennant race really starts to heat up and teams are a little more serious on knowing if they're contenders or pretenders. And I was certainly a contender at that time, but the season was called. Major League Baseball didn't have a World Series. Didn't play the last couple months. And that was pretty ugly. It took me a lifetime baseball aficionado, super fan, you know, all the game, not just my favorite teams. You know, it took me a while to come back. And I came back, and there had been so much movement and different stuff. I didn't recognize that, oh, Ricky Henderson's on the Padres now? You know, so a lot can happen if you don't pay attention in a little bit of time. And that's about where I, you know, sort of, you know, backed away from, you know, participating in fantasy baseball for sure, you know, for a couple years. It took me a while to really get back into even watching the sport. And there might be still people that, you know, resonate with that and never really came back. So anyway, we are coming up on we got a break in a couple minutes here on what is Fantasy Sports Friday, hosted by me, Jay Cruz. And again, I have a couple drafts coming up with baseball season right around the corner. And, you know, started on the topic of, you know, wait till next year and using the 49ers as an example before I sort of segued into baseball. So, and that was kind of like my Super Bowl weekend because, you know, to just geek out on the fact that we have this league with 12 teams, which is a pretty substantial good number. you know, and I like having, you know, a decent number makes it more competitive, and that you as a manager have to get by with average or below average players to fill roster spots. Now, you can't just, you know, put a guy in a starting lineup like, say, you can on PlayStation or Xbox or one of those, you know, electronic arts kind of games. I'm a big fan of those games, too. So I started playing video games for a little while after the fantasy sports kind of were numb for a little while after that baseball strike. And that's a good way to, you know, learn about a lot of players because they do a lot of work to make them as, you know, legitimate as the real that they can. But you know, saying, you know, players have to qualify for there's certain standards and rules to, you know, make to have somebody qualify. Like you might tune in and you're watching, you know, I was living in the Bay Area. Let's say we're watching a Giants game and all of a sudden this one guy who's been playing second base all season is starting at first base. And I'm like, hey, I have that guy on my team. Can I now he has to play at least 5 or 10 games at an alternate position to qualify now as a first baseman in your lineup, which, you know, is something also keep in mind as to having, you know, position flexibility as best you can, especially when you're building, you know, from the bottom of the roster with your $1 players in the auction draft. You've already pretty much got your starters and your big ringers and you're looking for, you obviously want to have backups because there are days off and, you know, there's hot and cold streaks and then there's injuries. So that's three reasons why. You know, for instance, I have New York Mets first baseman Petey Alonso. He's having a really good season last year, and then he hit the injury. He was on the injured list, and I didn't technically, because he's an everyday starter, I'm not going to start someone over him because he's really good. The only time to, you know, put someone else in is if he's, you know, out or injured for a little bit of time. And he did get an injury, and by then I had an outfielder from Baltimore, who I'll also be keeping going into next year, Anthony Santander, who played a lot of right field, left field. The Orioles used him as a designated hitter, and then, you know, one day I'm looking, and he is now qualified as a first baseman, so luckily I was able to put him in that situation. Otherwise, you know, I might have had to make a decision on releasing a player that I don't want to pick up a player by a position need. So always good to have folks who can play more than one position, and that's usually how the qualifications go. If they play, like if a, you know, catcher plays first base like one game and never does it again, unfortunately he won't qualify as a first baseman. But there are a lot of catchers that do play a lot of first base, so if you're looking for a backup on both positions, that's, you know, kind of a thing to keep in mind. You know, when it comes down to making a decision between two players who basically, you know, give you the same value in return, you know, statistically wise, if you're in a keeper dynasty league, you tend to want to go with the younger player just because you have a chance to keep him longer. Or, you know, if it's a money issue and one comes at a higher price tag than the other, you know, that always is a big factor too. So those are some of the things that, you know, go into watching on the multi-position qualification. So these are things you got to kind of do a little extra homework on and know where you know, have a couple backup options, which I, you know, in that particular point, I think I do. I've got, you know, a little bit of flexibility, and that was kind of the good thing in waiting till next year, last year, that gives me a lot more confidence coming into the draft, which will be coming up in about a month. But last week we had our expansion draft. That's where I'm saying, you know, as a stat freak and all this, it's like, oh, now I got to protect players who, you know, might get drafted by another team. One of the guys who did get taken by one of the expansion teams, I, you know, now I look back and think I probably could have protected him and left another player who has better statistics unprotected just because the other statistics that player has are a little more obscure. We give points to what is called a hold, normally done by a setup pitcher before the closer comes in. They are normally the guy that gets the big number and saves. which again is a category you have to have a relief pitcher for. Now again, I was saying one of my many tangents on the show was that and how important relief pitchers are. And literally every team kind of has a closer or a couple guys that do it. And even some of the, you know, bottom level teams, their top closer is still going to get you about, you know, 25 saves. So it's good to look at one of those guys as maybe your second, you know, bullpen closer. But, you know, in our league, and you can find it on most of the leagues you play, especially like the Yahoo public leagues, you know, we give points for pitchers that get a quality start and, you know, relief pitchers that will get a hold. That means they come in the game and they game isn't decided quite yet, but they get a hold. And I got this one guy who I did protect, but probably could have left him unprotected and kept AJ Minter of the Braves, who got drafted. Anyway, Colin Posch is, you know, was a guy with a lot of holds, and it turned out that he also came away with 12 wins, just being the pitcher of decision, you know, late in the game. The baseball scoring system is complicated if you haven't grown up with the game or paid attention or done what was called scoring by yourself. Now, scoring's a whole nother topic, probably won't get into as we're about to go to a break in a few minutes, but that scoring is sometimes how you get these points. In this league, there's a lot of different categories that we give points for. You're probably going quality start, hold, you know, pitcher of decision, what are we talking about? And that's just sort of tapping the surface of this, but those are where the gems are in finding the extra points when it gets down to the marginal players. You know, he's not a headline name, and the fact he got 12 wins makes him as respectable as over 50% of the starting pitchers. There was one guy who I think got 20 wins last year, you know, a handful of 17, 18s, 15s, 13s, and, you know, then down there it's like, you know, there's a lot of 10-win pitchers out there because the tendency has been with analytics to be almost like the anti-Nolan Ryan or the anti-Satchel Paige before Nolan. Longtime baseball fans know those two pitchers probably, you know, for their duration, their endurance, their, you know, going well past what major league players do today, throwing, you know, 150 pitches a game, complete games, things that, you know, major league managers, you know, just don't want to, I don't want to throw too many pitches, you know, but it seems that every other pitcher is getting Tommy John surgery. So, you know, is it the innings that they're pitching? Is it the way they're being taught to throw? Is it the conditioning? You know, it's certainly not overuse, probably underuse more likely. Not really sure. That's a debate that is good for the, good for later in the summer when we need topics like that. In the meantime, let's take a break. I'm Jay Cruz, Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net.
When my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
We're back. Fantasy Sports Friday, HealthyLife.net radio. You can listen on demand, podcasts, which you can find on the homepage here at HealthyLife.net, or if you're listening live Friday, you can re-listen on Saturday, 9 a.m. Pacific time. Also on demand, which might be fun in the next couple weeks when I kind of break down players and an auction strategy. We did have an expansion selection last week and then a minor league draft, so I know I mentioned the 49ers and the Chiefs and football at the very beginning of the show, but seriously, as the lead up to that game was happening, in the back of my mind, I'm like, okay, we just had our expansion draft and, you know, we have a minor league draft coming up, and I had to basically draft four minor league players. There's a couple stipulations on guys we can and can't draft, so had to study that and basically come up with new and high quality players for Monday, right after the Super Bowl, which I could have, you know, Sunday would have been a great day to, you know, study the intricacies of the newer minor league players, but I had Super Bowl stuff to do. I mean, that's like my Christmas. That's really the only holiday I celebrate, Super Bowl Sunday. It's not a holiday, but I treat it like one. So there's a lot of baseball, obviously, going on, and, you know, when you get to the Super Bowl, you know, yeah, it was exciting having a team I grew up watching. And, you know, for what it's worth, I'm cool with the Chiefs, which is odd, you know. But my mom and dad were both from the Kansas City area, so I've kind of had a soft spot in my heart for Kansas City because at least when they win, it makes mom happy. And now I was like, oh, good luck to your team, but I'm not rooting for them this time. But a great game. And we'll talk a little bit more about that towards the end of the show and some of that aftermath. But all of this baseball stuff is coming up. And this is, a pretty complex league, you know, when it comes to, you know, some of the statistics that we use for scoring. And, you know, last year I'd seen the movie Moneyball with Brad Pitt, but I didn't read the book. And normally when you read the book, you get about 80% more than what's in the movie, especially when it comes to, you know, deep down, dark and dirty details, which in Moneyball, it really laid out how fantasy baseball sort of creeped its way into the then philosophy of Billy Beane and those guys in the front office, Podesta, all these, you know, sort of the folks that, you know, have now created more of the analytics. But, you know, it's kind of looking at a player and how much you're paying for them contract-wise and the value that you're really getting back. And it was kind of an eye-opener. Again, I wish I read it before the baseball draft last year, as I hadn't done an auction draft in a long time, and it was a little rusty on that, but I prefer that to the snake draft, or what they call that. So anyway, I had to come up with some minor leaguers. Two of my guys last year, my top two picks, were called up, and because of injuries, I had to promote them. And once you're promoted in our league, you can't be sent down and stay in your own system. You then become a free agent. So would take the chance of another owner, you know, grabbing one of my players. And I didn't want to do that because I was having a lot of luck taking other players from other teams as they were being released because I had a lot of injuries at the beginning of the season and I really needed to, you know, improve in places but fill roster spots as well. So I took a look at the actual, you know, fantasy numbers that the players get in the fantasy game as opposed to their maybe eye-popping statistics of, hey, this guy had 23 stolen bases and, you know, 20 home runs or something like that, but he strikes out a lot or something and his overall percentage wasn't as high, or maybe the player's injury prone, things like that. So I kind of was been, again, building for next year all last year. And, you know, outside of a handful of guys that I am keeping, I really have a lot of folks that I picked up off the waiver wire and got through trades and stuff like that. But Taj Bradley of the Tampa Bay Rays and Yura Perez of the Miami Marlins are two guys that I had called up last year and kept up, and I'm pretty much going to keep them on my roster this year is they should have good seasons, both get a lot of strikeouts, and Perez was doing... Anyway, they both play on competitive teams as well in Florida, and they'll be fine for this year. And I have a couple guys on the minor league team that were called up by their teams, but I didn't promote them, so they still are considered minor league players. One of them is St. Louis Cardinals top prospect, Mason Wynn, who has one of the strongest throwing arms in baseball. You know, his arm is incredible. So he's at shortstop. You know, the Cardinals have also tried him at outfield, and he is one time a pitcher as well. So probably we'll call him up maybe at some time later in the season if he does open on the opening day roster, give it time to, you know, make sure he's doing good and doesn't get sent back down, because if he gets sent back down, he's going to be A, ineffective on my major league roster, and B, a prospect that will be back up again. They just want to give him more experience in the minor leagues, because obviously he's not, you know, doing as well as they want, or they want to give him some more experience for whatever reason, mainly just coaching and time spent seeing things that he needs to, mainly at the plate. His defense is fine, so ideally I'd like for you know, him to come up, play successfully for a while, and then call him up, you know, maybe later, and not have to call him up for need because a player of mine is hurt. And then I got a Dodgers pitcher, Gavin Stone, who came up and was sent back down a couple times last year, as the Dodgers have great pitching but a lot of injuries on the staff. What's going on, Dave Roberts? So we will have to turn in our list of players we'll be keeping. And again, we have a 260 unit salary for, you know, being what we can bid on the players. And I, you know, did some math, and, you know, I have a lot of players that are going to be playing for the, like, $2, which is the second year for a player on the minimum. Folks, again, picked up off waivers. I got a couple great deals. Blake Snell is a guy I'll be keeping at $2. Well, you know, last year he was struggling and his owner released him, and I picked him up, and then he turned around and was doing really well. So I got him, I'll have him for $2. Problem right now is he has the greediest sports agent in baseball history, Scott Boras, you know, who will get a super big contract, but Blake Snell might be holding out. He may or may not sign with a team during spring training. Hopefully he does, because if he misses that, then he's going to have to do off-season work and, you know, won't be back. But again, at $2 and the potential, it's a great, you know, person to keep and build my, you know, starting pitching around, which is kind of where I'll be focusing most of my free agent draft capital is on a really good pitcher. I'd like to come away with that new signee that the Dodgers got, Yamamoto, the guy from, I believe Japan. I don't think Korea. I believe Japan, but I might be wrong. Anyway, and he'll be teaming up with Shohei Ohtani with the LA Dodgers. And the Dodgers paid $300 million to get this guy. He was number one in, again, I believe Japan. I could be wrong, but there's a lot of great foreign talent, as if you watch the game, you know, from the Far East and Latin America, you know, makes up probably well over half of Major League rosters by now. So anyway, guys, I'm keeping on the pitching staff. We started there. Blake Snell, hopefully he signs with the team, doesn't have a lack of getting into the season once he does sign. Keeping the closer, Josh Hader. He's at a $20 salary and has just been traded, I believe, to the Houston Astros, a team that's very competitive. He should get a lot of saves. Edwin Diaz, he was one of the players that was out all last year, injured himself at the World Baseball Classic. Luckily for him, it was a knee injury, and he's a pitcher. So there's nothing structurally wrong with his basic pitching, and he was one of my highest paid players and does go up, but now I've got two great closers on my staff, and you were listening, you know what I think about closers. So he's got a $30 salary. Then Yuri Perez of the Marlins, one of my minor leaguers promoted last year, a lot of potential, $2. Another guy on the Marlins who put up some good numbers, and I picked up off waivers Braxton Garrett, $2. Taj Bradley, he was on the Tampa Bay Rays up and down quite a bit last year. I did promote him out of necessity, $2 for him. And I know an owner in the league who's a big Tampa Bay Rays fan. So he's a possible person to involve in a trade if I want to pursue that. Colin Posch, also of, can't remember if he's on Tampa Bay or Toronto for some reason right now. I got to double check that. But, you know, he was the guy I should have maybe left exposed in the expansion draft because he's a little more obscure and under the radar. But he gets good numbers. He has 12 wins as a basically a setup guy and finished second or third in the league in hold. So A.J. Minter of Atlanta, he was taken in the expansion draft along with a couple of my minor leaguers. Tyler Rogers, Andrew Chafin, and Jose Urquidy of Houston. More than likely, I am just going to let those guys go. And not that they're expensive at $2, but I also might be able to re-sign them at $1. And, you know, we'll just see how that goes when we get there. Going to come back in a moment and talk about offensive players that we're keeping. And then we're going to probably talk about football after that and wrap up the season. I'm Jay Cruz, Fantasy Sports Friday, HealthyLife.net Radio.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death. ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Everybody down! Dwayne Johnson here. The earthquakes you see in movies are one thing, but real life is a completely different animal. Just because you can't predict an earthquake doesn't mean that you can't prepare for one. In the event of a real earthquake, you should drop, cover, and hold on. Visit ready.gov/earthquake and practice what to do to keep you and your family safe in the event of a real earthquake, and you'll be seen as a hero by your family and your loved ones.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
All right, during the break, I did look that up. Colin Posch is the setup guy for the Tampa Bay Rays. So, those are the guys I'll be keeping on the pitching staff, and a couple I'll be putting back into the free agent pool on offense. A little more expensive, a lot more players. But still, I think a pretty good balance overall heading into next season. Got a, I think, a great, inexpensive, and volatile outfield, I think. Plus, put a lot of money into the infield. We'll see how that goes. Petey Alonso, first baseman, he'll be expensive. He'll be $34 this year, up to $37 next year, and $42 the year after that. So at some point, I do want to get another younger first baseman in case money becomes an issue in the future, which it always can be. Jose Altuve, kind of on the fence about keeping him, but I've decided he's going to be keeper worthy. Still under $30, scraping in at $29, $32 next year, and $37 the year after that. He just signed an extension with Houston, so he'll be happy and content there. You know, the thing about Altuve, there's always people because of that trash can cheating scandal that the Astros were involved in, and he was a centerpiece of that. The chances of him getting hit by a pitch at any time is a little higher than the average batter. So anyway, I'm going to be keeping him into this year, see what I can get with hopefully a full season as he missed a good chunk of last year. Behind the plate, Will Smith, not the actor, the catcher of the L.A. Dodgers. Relatively inexpensive. He put up just under 400 fantasy points last year. I'm getting him for $6. Almost put him back in the pool because my backup to him is William Contreras of the Milwaukee Brewers, and he gets just the same or a little more fantasy points than Will Smith, and I got him cheap, so he'll be $2 this year. In last year's free agent auction, I originally signed Manny Machado somewhere in the $30 range, and I got a trade that involved a couple other players, and I ended up getting third baseman Nolan Arenado of the St. Louis Cardinals, slightly older than Machado, but he came in $10 cheaper, so I got him going into this season at $25. Another player acquired by trade and put up a good deal of fantasy numbers on a baseball team that didn't put up good number of wins, the Washington Senators, outfielder Lane Thomas. I ended up with him in a trade for Toronto pitcher Jose Berrios, and I figured, you know, Lane Thomas has a $1 salary. He's got great numbers. He'll be a $2 player for me next year. I'm going to be releasing and not retaining Cedric Mullins, pretty good outfielder, the Baltimore Orioles situation. His salary would be $20 this year, a little higher than some of the quality I'm getting from other outfielders that I have options to keep. And I might re-sign him, but I seem to have a lot of outfielders, and his money doesn't justify the output he was getting. There we are with Brad Pitt, Moneyball, taken from Billy Beane. So I even tried to trade him at the deadline, but the only player who is interested is this one owner who he wants to give you, you know, shit for Shinola. And he was, you know, I was trying to get a minor leaguer from him, and he was like, you know, he's asking for like Blake Snell and stuff like that. And I'm like, dude, I'm not stupid. I'm just trying to get rid of a high-priced player. So so I got a personal wish to, you know, have my best games against that owner. Good thing is I'm playing him in basketball this week, and I just passed him as we go into the All-Star game, and that'll resume next week. And I already beat him once this year. I'd really like to beat him twice. And then again in baseball. But it's all about friendly rivalry. And he's also the guy that'll, you know, outbid you with like 2 seconds left on the countdown. When you think you got a player, he'll outbid him. So, he's just the way he is. It's kind of fun. There's a lot of different personalities in the league. So Mullins will be going back into the free agent pool. Interested to see, you know, if he gets the same amount or less. You know, might be able to sign him for a lot less than $20. Oakland A's had couple bright spots other than the whole nobody comes to their games or going to Las Vegas. Now Las Vegas mayor doesn't want us. More on that in future weeks. Estuary Ruiz stole 67 bases last year. He didn't. Acuna, the Braves, stole a few more, but he had a really good season, and I got him for $1 last year, so he's a $2 player. I was involved with a trade with a player, and I sent Rosarena to his team, and you know, how to pick a different outfielders. I ended up grabbing the guy who's on the Mets, Starling Marte, who I released last year after he was on injured list. So I was kind of already cutting payroll in a lot of cases. And one of the guys I was offered in that trade that I didn't take, who was available on waivers later and I picked up, and he paid great dividends, is Anthony Santander, the Baltimore Orioles. A lot of outfield and a little bit of first base. So I picked him up off of free agent waivers. He's a $2 player. San Francisco Giants just signed the free agent from the Florida Marlins, George Soler. A lot of power last year, over 30 home runs for the Marlins. Right field, left field, designated hitter. Picked him up last year off of waivers. He's a $2 player for me this year. Also, Tampa Bay, team full of a lot of talents. They, you know, fell short in the playoffs, but got a guy, Isaac Paredes, who plays all infield positions. Well, the two corner, third and first, and he plays second base occasionally, no shortstop, and puts up good numbers. And I picked him up off waivers, $2 player. Jeremy Pena, someone I got by trade in my other league the season before. I kept him in that league. He was a World Series hero in his rookie year. He was kind of good last year, but it's kind of on the border of keeping him. $17, a little high. However, you know, I've made decisions and cut payroll in other places that think I can keep him this year, and we'll see how it goes with the prospect Mason Wynn. If Mason Wynn comes up, has a great season, Pena might go next year when he is up to $20 salary. I'll get him this year for $17. And my other shortstop option, going to let him go, Javier Baez. He's decent, $8. I could probably get him cheaper, or, again, I want to use that for, you know, freeing up a little extra salary cap. Chris Taylor of the Dodgers is someone I'm going to let go back into the pool. He's someone I usually seem to pick up off waivers often. I just think knowing how the Dodgers use him as a utility player gives me a little insight, and he's clutch from time to time. $2, but I'm going to let that go back into the pool. Then Mike Yastrzemski, also at $2, going to release him. I picked up, I think I released Kike Hernandez, who was a little more effective fantasy-wise when he was on a different team than Chris Taylor, and we're on the Dodgers together. They're kind of the same little utility guy. But he was injured last year, and I needed I saw an opportunity to grab a really good player, Jack Sawinski. I think that's his name. He's of the Pittsburgh Pirates, and picked him off waivers, so he was $1, now a $2 player. And that gives me a strong outfield with Ruiz, stolen base, great player, 67 stolen bases last year for the A's. Santander, the new Giant, just signed Jorge Soler and Sawinski. So that's 1, 2, 3, you know, at least 4 excellent outfielders, all for really inexpensive contracts. Let me double check that. Ruiz, 3, 4. So at least 4 outfielders. So I might have to get another outfielder at some point in the draft. And, you know, again, if I wait and maybe jump on a guy late like a Chris Taylor, you know, he's a backup infielder, outfielder, and, you know, could be one of those players I won't have to spend, you know, more than a dollar or two, in which I'll plan on having a lot of extra capital. So after making some changes to the salary cap, I think I'll have spent $185 on this current lineup, the folks I'm keeping, and we'll have, $75 to fill 7 positions for an average of $10 a player, or, you know, 1 or 2 players, maybe a great outfielder. So I've got a very good outfield. Thomas is the other guy. So I got 5 outfielders. So I don't know if I'll be going for an outfielder, but, you know, definitely looking for maybe a second baseman, shortstop, best player available, and a couple pitchers. Definitely a starting pitcher, maybe 2. And I'm going to shoot for the Dodgers' Yamamoto. Haven't seen him pitch in the major leagues, but, you know, if the Dodgers think he's worth the money they paid, then I'm going to give him a shot. And, you know, can also sit there and go through the players I'm actually going to target after that. But that's kind of the strategy heading into next season, which is coming up shortly. In fact, during that segment, I got a couple texts from members of the league who are probably reminding me to get in my keepers ASAP. I was going to give them that over the weekend. So we're going to take a quick break and talk a little bit about Super Bowl 58 to wrap up the show. Fantasy Sports Friday, HealthyLife.net.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there. You can say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch.
Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Stuff, stuff, stuff. Where can I contain all of my stuff? How about this? The Container Store, the original storage and organization store. And I found their link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. They have containers for everything, including the kitchen, the bathroom, trash and recycling, traveling, spring cleaning, and dorm rooms. Just about everything you can think of to contain your stuff. The Container Store, right on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
As promised, we're back. Fantasy Sports Friday with the last segment here as we... I did a lot of talking, and yeah, that was some texting from the members of the league talking about got to get those keepers in soon because it takes a lot of time to, you know, load them into the system for the draft on Yahoo Sports. So anyway, I think I'll have about $75 fantasy-wise to spend on some players. And in that, I also gleaned a little information. One of our expansion team draft players, he went pretty light on drafting players from existing teams, while the one owner took a good amount in pillage as much as he could. But the guy that went conservative is going to have $213 heading into the auction draft. So I hope he's not a fan of the aforementioned Mr. Yamamoto. So Super Bowl 58 came and went. Overall, pretty good game. From a Niners perspective, there were a handful of plays that, you know, there's always a few plays that go this way, and you might have won. In a sense, I think they kind of beat themselves with some of the mistakes. There was the blocked extra point by Mr. Moody, who's a rookie, and he's been a little inconsistent during the season, although he, at one point in the game, set a record on longest field goal in Super Bowl history until the Chiefs kicker came around and beat that like the next quarter. You know, but missing an extra point, you know, that doesn't get missed. They're not going to overtime. There was the fumble on the opening drive, about the fifth or sixth play of the drive. Niners are moving the ball really well, down there close to scoring position, and Christian McCaffrey got stripped. There was a fumble. You know, the Chiefs didn't capitalize on it right away, but the fact that it took away a very momentum-building moment for San Francisco certainly kind of took a little wind out of their sails. And they were dominating the Chiefs in the first half, clearly. There was the weird punt recovery when Ray McCloud were wondering, why didn't he make a fair catch there? What's he trying to do? As it turned out on the replay, a very odd thing came down. He was kind of waving for the fair catch. The ball bounced or came down right out of the air. I can't remember which. And then it obscurely hits the inside ankle of one of the 49ers coverage guys. Now that it's been touched by a member of the 49ers, Ray had to recover it instead of just letting it all happen and just letting taking possession wherever the ball ends up. So that was kind of a big thing. And then, you know, there's a lot been made that they maybe should have let the Chiefs have the ball at the beginning of overtime. And, you know, just the new overtime rules, there was, you know, mention that they didn't understand it. It is different than the usual overtime rule. So I don't even understand it, and I think I do. You know, but basically when they're coming down to the end of the first quarter, I think people are confused if that's the end of overtime or – as the, you know, referee kind of said at the beginning, it's a new game. And, you know, both teams at that time, you know, the Chiefs were coming down, did score and scored before the quarter ended. But had they not, you know, ran that play and gone in, they would have, you know, started the second quarter of overtime. So those are some just interesting little moments. And, you know, give credit to the Chiefs because they, you know, they were able to hang around. They didn't let the Niners get out, you know, too far ahead. And they made big plays defensively. Don't know if a lot of people saw the blitz that was called on the third and four before San Francisco, you know, kicked the field goal. Had that blitz not been called and that rusher, you know, not been there, it probably would, San Francisco maybe would have had a complete pass. Certainly looked like it was going that way without the blitz that happened and had not been shown earlier in the game. So give Kansas City some credit. Are they going to win three in a row? They certainly could win three in a row. Nucleus of that team is still intact. They may lose a couple players to free agency. Chris Jones, defensive lineman, he held out earlier this year. He got the money back through, you know, bonus structure and whatnot, but I believe that was a one-year deal just to get him on the team because, you know, they lost their opener to Detroit, barely. And, you know, the guy that was responsible for partially losing that game, Kadarius Toney, he's pretty much been annexed in 86 from the team, if not outright cut. You know, they told him to stay away during Super Bowl preparations, and he wasn't active in the roster, even though he scored, I think, at least once, maybe twice in last year's Super Bowl. So, you know, strange things are happening. And Jenarius Sneed has made a number of big plays for the Chiefs in the playoffs. And some of the Raider news groups I follow say the Raiders might make a big free agent push to get him. You know, keep in mind, you know, the Raiders, ironically, the last team to beat Kansas City back on Christmas Day, a day that San Francisco also lost. And, you know, with a lot of new stuff going on with the Raiders, obviously Coach Antonio Pierce has his ideas on players he wants to get and did a good job finding folks who had been cut and adding to improve the team last year. But in the aftermath of that big game that they had against the Chargers, Tom Telesco, Chargers general manager, is now the Raiders general manager. And, you know, they've got to strategize this draft coming up and, you know, who they're going to get, re-sign, and, you know, maybe trade to move up in a draft. There are a number of great quarterbacks. Quarterback is always a position of need. There's about seven or eight really high quality, could be starting very soon in the league quarterbacks, and, you know, they have their eye on a couple of those. Speaking of the Chargers, I just saw today that Brandon Staley, his name has been mentioned in the possible opening with the Super Bowl losers, San Francisco 49ers. Kyle Shanahan, I think on Wednesday, fired defensive coach Steve Wilks. They had butted heads a couple times during the season and once on that final drive when Shanahan didn't like the call with the defensive backs all standing about 5 yards back. And there will be a new defensive coach in San Francisco. Staley is, you know, someone who, coming from the defensive coordinator side of the ball, is a possibility. You know, he's an ex-head coach. He also got Vrabel, Mike Vrabel's defensive guy. Maybe he'd be interested. Ron Rivera, he played at Cal. So there's a number of other names out there. But I did see Brandon Staley's name as of today. So that's a big opening in the National Football League, 49ers defensive coordinator. Got so much to get to with drafts coming up. I didn't even talk basketball. If you're a fan of NBA, check out the All-Star Game. That's the ultimate fantasy sports singular game and probably the best game to get into a daily fantasy situation if you're looking to do that on one of those daily fantasy sites. We're out of time. We'll talk next week. Jay Cruz here, Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net Radio.